Good afternoon, New Mexico, and welcome to another incarnation of the Jeffrey Candelaria Show on 94.5 FM. That's frequency modulation and AM 770 News Radio KKOB. We're going to be with you here in the heart of New Mexico, live in studio with multiple guests talking about the state of our market and finance and business and technology and entrepreneurship in that order. Our first guest is Pavlos Panagopoulos. It took me 3.5 years to figure out how to say his last name, Pavlos Panagopoulos. He is the Greek financier here in New Mexico. Give us a call, 243-3333, if you'd like to talk finance and the state of the market. Thank you for being a guest on the Jeffrey Candelaria Show, Pavlos.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for having me on again. Great program you have, and love coming to your different events you have around the community.
Well, I appreciate it. And you're on again because I think it's important that at least every 3 months we get a refresher as to the state of our market in terms of finance. How is it going? Projections, forecasting, that kind of thing. So if any of you out there have any questions about the market or any of that kind of thing, give us a call. We have Pavlos Panagopoulos. He is a financial consultant with Cetera. So let's get right to it. Since Trump was elected, it seems like from indicators that the economy seems to be, at least from a overall perspective, a little more robust. The market seems to be responding in a positive way. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
That seems to be the case. You know, the perception is there's going to be less government regulation. That he's already done with executive orders and eliminating some regulations. Of course, we're all waiting for healthcare reform, and of course, they're talking about doing some infrastructure spending. And so a lot of things are happening in Congress. Nothing has come through yet. So we're still waiting for these, Trump effect to take place. But the market's already responded. You know, I guess a lot of people think the market is a leading indicator, and that's what's happening now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's such a polarization, a divide in our country. I've never seen anything like this. Maybe 1968, you had the vitriol, you had the violence, you had the assassination of Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and of course the Democratic Convention in Chicago. So you had all this chaos in 68, but I've never seen the vitriol. You had this idiot, that movie star guy, the Dead Pirates or the whatever it's called, Depp, say
Depp
out loud about assassinating the president. Can you imagine that? I'd never go see a movie with that guy again in my life.
Or another comedian holding a president's head.
Yeah, but the point is,
I know, it's crazy.
Whether you're Trump or Obama, I shouldn't say Obama, the other side is going to resist and oppose. So I think that causes a lot of this, I guess you'd say, non-efficiency for government and policy. But getting off that topic, the state of the market, how does it look right now?
I think you put it best. The government is in disarray. And Jeffrey, you and I know that when the government's in disarray, they kind of stay out of our way. And that's what's happening. The government has not been able to get any traction. And, you know, a lot of people believe that the government is here to help us. Of course, we have Social Security and we have other things that, you know, the government provides us defense. But a lot of regulations have held back the economy from growing. We haven't seen a growth rate in the economy of more than 3% in like 10 years. And so suddenly it seems like the economy might get unleashed and we might see that growth. Again, you talked about Calvin Coolidge and Ronald Reagan in 1980. Those are two areas where regulations were brought down. And of course, we also saw tax relief. I talk about lowering the tax rate to maybe 15%. That's more money into everybody's pockets. We've seen gas prices now, yesterday at a 7-month low. That's more money in people's pockets. Of course, governments now, state governments are trying to tax individuals on gas so that they can make up some of that money. But again, you know, taxes are a drag on the economy, and so are regulations, and we're seeing some relief there.
Our guest, Pavlos Panagopoulos, we're talking finance, we're talking the state of our market, we're talking business, we're talking economics. Call us, 243-3333. Of course, you had Reagan right after Carter. Remember Carter, interest rates were 18, 19, 20%. Then you had Reagan elected, and he was barely elected, by the way. It's interesting. But at any rate, when he was elected, the supply side economic guy, he talked about taking the tax burden away from as many businesses as possible, and the economy absolutely escalated dramatically within a year after Reagan was elected. New Mexico is one of the most overburdened states in terms of taxes if you own a business. That's another thing. And then we wonder why we don't create jobs and we don't foster economic growth. Well, the other part of it too, and no one says it but me, half our population's at home eating donuts because they don't want to work. It's interesting. All these folks say, let's create jobs in New Mexico. We're the only state where half the population is on Medicaid, a state or federal program. That's disgraceful, Pavlos. That's disgraceful.
And I know, you know, people say the government is here to help us, but sometimes the government holds us back. And again, we've been seeing a lot of debt. Our government is burdened by nearly $20 trillion in debt now. And all those things that burden the governments burden the citizens, and it basically holds back our economy and holds back markets. But like I said, we've seen since the Brexit, which Jeffrey, you don't remember that the Brexit happened a year ago on Friday, markets have turned. It's been almost like a 180. Our whole perspective has turned 180, and we've seen the markets do a 180 as well. Suddenly we see the NASDAQ up 40% since the Brexit. This year, the market, the NASDAQ's up almost 14%, and we're seeing the S&P 500 up 7.5%, and the Dow this year is up equally as much. And so we're seeing, again, the government getting out of the way of business and market rally.
Let's back up and reverse engineer Brexit. Define Brexit. That's the European, that was that European sort of group that was together for.
So Great Britain was part of the European Union, and they had the pound where the European Union had the euro.
Yeah.
So they were tied financially, but not monetarily. And what they were seeing was a lot of things happening in Europe with immigration, also burdening the people on basically regulations, immigrant, you know, coming in by the, you know, hundreds of thousands into Europe. And so that burden was burdening Great Britain. And they decided to vote to exit themselves or divorce themselves from the European Union. And that happened last Friday, you know, 1 year ago to this day.
So they had to, for example, Britain had to share in some of the, I guess you'd say, squanderous policies of, no offense, your homeland, Greece. Because Greece, you had all these folks retiring at 45, 50, and all of a sudden not generating tax, and yet at the same time they got to pay for all these pensions. It bankrupt your country.
Yes, and Greece is still suffering. They've had a negative 23% GDP loss in the last 10 years. Jeffrey, we talked about the Depression and Coolidge. That was only 16%. Yeah. So if you can imagine, Greece has had a worse economic downturn than we've seen during the Depression.
The Depression was Herbert Hoover.
Right, Herbert Hoover.
Then FDR. But anyway, that's because at that time, though, America was very isolationist, and you had the Roaring Twenties, you had I guess, subsequent to World War One, you had all these, like a perfect storm to really create an economic chaotic environment, and it happened, I believe, October 1929, and you had something like 16% unemployment, which was unprecedented, still is. So let's get back to Brexit then. With Brexit and United Kingdom breaking away from that group a year ago, that's had positive implications for our economy too then,
yes,
correct?
Yes, and Great Britain. They did not want to tie their wagon to the euro and the European Union, and their financial situation is much better. The banks there in Great Britain are doing better. Our banks are doing better here in the United States, and Europe is, if you believe this, if you put your money in the bank, Jeffrey, that they actually take a little money out every month. They have negative interest rates in Europe, and Japan is the same. And we have not seen that in the history of finance in 5,000 years where there's negative interest rates.
Yeah. If you want to talk to Pavlos Panagopoulos, he is an expert in the area of finance and the state of our market and economics, call us 243-3333. We're going to go to break now on the Jeffrey Candelaria Show, News Radio, KKOB. Back on the Jeffrey Candelaria Show here on News Radio KKOB. We're talking the state of our economic situation here nationally, globally. We're talking about Brexit. Let's talk about Social Security. That's a topic that, of course, affects most of our senior population at one point or another. And you have a lot of interesting thoughts on that, including a seminar about bridge loaning. You want to talk about Social Security, Pavlos?
Yes, we're actually having a seminar on September 21st, Bridge Your Way to Social Security. I know a lot of us out there, Jeffrey, you and I both being baby boomers, are saying, how do we get to retire? We'd like to retire sooner than later, but we want to make sure we maximize our Social Security. We don't want to be taxed on it. If you take Social Security early, a lot of people take their Social Security when they can at 62, but depending on your income, you could be taxed $1 for every $2 you take. That's a lot. And we talk about taxes, same with, individuals taking money out of their 401k or their IRAs before they're 59 and a half, they get hit with the 10% penalty. So we try to encourage people to save and bridge their Social Security.
And not only that, but when you take Social Security at 62, not only are you not going to, incorporate the maximum that would be allowed if you were to take it at 70, for example. But the other piece, please talk to our listeners about this, is you can only earn so much money even if you work on a part-time basis as well, right, at 62?
Right.
There's
a
threshold there.
$30,000, which is not that much for a lot of people, and then you're taxed on that money. So we try to encourage clients to, postpone taking Social Security. You can even wait till 70, and that money is growing 8% per year. Now, I know the stock market's been up, great this year, double digits, but 8% is still a pretty good rate of return in this marketplace, when we're seeing interest rates, at all-time low.
And what is a bridge loan?
Bridging your way to Social Security is having money in your 401k or your IRAs, saving in a tax-efficient way. Because, we all know it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And we try to train our, clients on saving money and saving the most efficient way possible and minimizing their taxes.
So
they have more money so that they can reach their Social Security maximization.
Let's use a real world example. So the thresholds to take out Social Security are 62, 65, 70. What are those?
And for you and I, it's going to be closer to 66 because, Jeffrey, they keep pushing it back. Way back they created Social Security was at 62 because that was life expectancy. The government knew, Jeff, that, most people died at 62. So that's when they started Social Security. Pretty smart, right? Now I have a client, Kelta. She's 103 years old. And we still send her money every month to pay her expenses. And people are living a lot longer. And so I guess people are afraid of running out of money. And that's really what they got to think about.
But using the current thresholds, which are 62, 65, 70, let's say someone is 62 and they want to defer the traditional, receiving Social Security, but want to provide a bridge loan to themselves. How much money should that person have, let's say, if they wanted to bridge loan themselves to 65? Should they have approximately $200,000 saved, $100,000? I'm just using an example.
I would say that, if you had $250,000 saved up, that would be at least a start. But what we try to tell clients is if you save $1 million, and you take, basically a formula of taking out 4% per year, which is historical rate of return, you could draw somewhere between $40,000 and $45,000 and not run out of money for 30 years. And that's assuming a decent rate of return. We're not talking, a high rate of return. Markets go up and markets go down. But again, trying to get to that $1 million threshold is always, key.
Well, given that New Mexico is one of the poorest states in the union, saving $1 million, I don't know how realistic that is for some of the average folk out there. So can you give us some other pragmatic tips that the average person can begin to execute in his or her life to begin to save some money or defer tax ethically and legitimately?
Sure. If you're young and you're below 30, having a Roth IRA, you can set money aside and that money's going to go tax-free forever. So that really, the younger you start, the better. When we get older, that's when we make more money, and then that's when we want to be able to start saving. But time is not on our side, so you also have to be able to sock as much money away as you can. And keep in mind, if you maximize Social Security, that can mean hundreds of thousands of dollars more that you would get by delaying when you take Social Security. Plus, you'd save taxes. So one way of maximizing your Social Security is delaying when you take it.
On the other hand, who the hell wants to work till they're 70? I mean, even Thomas Jefferson didn't want to run a third term, which, you know, I wish some of these folks that run some of these ecosystems in Albuquerque would retire already, because these people are still in office, or, you know, I won't mention names, but these people run these chambers are 80 years old. They've been there 50 years, and they're supposed to be representing the state of the art, thinking, technology. That's why we have our next guest on. They're in their 20s, and they're running an ecosystem that makes sense because they have a fresh perspective. Anyway, right. That's a whole different show. We'll talk about that.
I know you're going to have the Iman later, but Nika and Natalia, they're going to talk about that. That's going to be
Nadine.
They're going to be talking about technology, and that's really what's helping our economy.
Yeah.
Suddenly we see Amazon buying out Whole Foods. More of that's coming.
The implication is the way you buy food is going to be probably online.
Right.
So it's kind of like, no offense to Smith's and all those Albertsons, they're going to go away. They will not be around in 20 years.
And maybe your food will be delivered by drones, right?
Yes.
That's quite possible. I mean, there's a lot of new things coming.
Yeah.
Tesla Motors, for instance, is up 93% since the Brexit. And you think about Tesla Motors as being green or kind of democratic. But again, if it's business and it works, it's not Democrat or Republican.
Exactly.
It's business.
It's business, and it's also convenience. Look at Uber. Uber is going to run all the taxi companies as we know them into the grave, because if you want a ride from here to there, anyone has a taxi cab that has a car. What a novel and pragmatic and simple idea. And they've already generated $1 trillion in revenue, and they're putting the taxi companies out of business. Not that we want taxi companies out of business, but it's progress. Because real economics, I read a book recently, and you'll get this, real economic growth is called destruction. When you destroy an old technology and integrate a new one, that's destruction, but it's actually innovation. Isn't that interesting? Probably.
Yes, there's a lot of upheaval going on right now, and we're seeing it in the technology area. We're seeing it with social media. Even Facebook is building a big facility in Los Lunas.
Yeah.
So that may help our state. We may get these new technologies here in New Mexico to help our state, and that's what we need.
But of course,
new ideas.
But of course,
young
half our population is going to be reticent about it, because half our population resists progress and change. And that's just a fact. Can you imagine? One out of two New Mexicans resist change, resist and resent change and progress. That's fascinating.
Right. And basically, change and progress helps all of our lives. It's just,
of course,
it's human nature.
Otherwise, we'd be in a horse and buggy, you know, with two cans and a string talking on a phone. But
but it's human nature to want to keep things the way it is, especially as we get older. Thank goodness I have young millennials living in my household, and they're constantly pushing me to think of new ideas and adopt new technologies like Uber.
Well, it's destruction. It's destruction economics. You destroy a new technology, an old technology, and then introduce that new technology to replace it. Remember the old days when you had a phone, you wanted to talk to your girlfriend, you had to sit at home for 18 hours with a, you know, next to your desk. Now you have your smartphone, you can talk to somebody in China with three flicks of your finger there. At any rate, that's technology. As we conclude today, Pavlos, any thoughts on forecasts for the state of our economy and the market?
Well, you know, look what's happening in Washington. Politics have really driven this market. And so if you see, Congress being able to get some of these tax relief through, or infrastructure spending, or healthcare reform, anything that, you know, takes the burden away from the economy, we're going to see earnings from corporations do better. And if earnings from corporations do better, we'll see the market continue to rally. And a lot of this stuff is spreading worldwide. We're seeing the international markets actually up. Remember, everybody was talking about Trump building a wall and all that stuff. Well, guess what? Those who don't have international investing have missed out on a big run this year, especially in the emerging markets. So you would have thought Trump would have been bad for emerging markets. A lot of investment companies were telling their clients, stay away from emerging markets, stay away from international investing. But guess what? That's been the best performing category in the 6 months, and probably will continue. And so we see more of, you know, what's happening. And again, look for, you know, some tax relief to come in and some infrastructure spending. And basically, we'll see maybe Ronald Reagan 1980s market, where we see this is just the beginning of a bull market run.
Yeah, and one of the emerging markets that doesn't get a lot of attention, I'm not clear as to why, maybe it's because it's in another hemisphere, is Brazil. Brazil, I believe, is the fourth most robust economy in the world now.
Exactly, and a lot of, they're part of the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, those countries are doing fabulous. They represent more than 50% of the gross domestic product of the world, and they're growing. Remember I said we're barely growing, not even 3%. Europe the same. Japan is probably, you know, negative or flat. And so the growth is happening in those countries. And Brazil, of course, a democratic country, they're doing great. They've had some political upheaval. They've had some issues with their president. But again, any new kind of economy is going to have a lot of ups and downs. And that's why probably it's good to have a good financial advisor on your side telling you, you know, be careful about where you invest in. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread your money out. See what the trends are. But don't bet the farm on one thing, because these technologies and the disruption that you talked about can be very volatile and can be disruptive to your portfolio as well.
Yeah. Our guest, Pavlos Panagopoulos, we only have a couple of minutes. He's with Cetera, and you have a particular caveat that you have.
Yes, I do need to disclose that securities investment advisory services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, and Cetera Advisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investors Protection Corporation. Jeffrey, have a wonderful program. I know that the next two guest speakers on are going to be great, and talking about technology and what's happening in the world, something very positive, and look forward to hearing what they have to say.
How long did it take you to practice that little caveat there, Pavlos?
I have to say it all the time. You know, we have to disclose.
Is that an FCC thing?
Yes.
Or is that a Securities
Investment Protection Corporation requires that we say that, yes. And again, it's regulations.
That's regulation, yeah.
Right. So we have to abide by regulations. So,
again, we still have about a minute, though. You want to mention your bridge loan event taking place?
Yes. You can go to our website, myfinancialsense.com. Again, myfinancialsense is with an S. You can sign up online for our Bridge to Social Security program. You can find out more about Cetera and our firm and our team and what we do. You know, been in the business for 31 years. And so definitely give us a call. Our home number is 828-4068. And Jeff, we'll see you in August. So thank you for having us on.
You'll give us an update then. Our guest, Pavlos Panagopoulos, have a great weekend. Thank you, Pav, for being a guest. We have a couple of guests coming up from the New Mexico Technology Council. Stay with us on the Jeffrey Candelaria Show. News Radio, KKOB.